Well, one of the best parts of being a pastor is conversations with all of you. I've come to find out in the 5 different congregations I've served that there are wise and faith-filled people in every one of them. Learning about your lives, hearing your stories, asking for your reflections on our world, that's one of those things that makes me thankful that I get to be in a job like this. So, this past week, I got to have a conversation like that with one of you. On Wednesday morning, the morning after the verdict was read in the courtroom in Minneapolis. I wonder if we have together had an extended period over the last 2 months, probably more like the last year, where it feels like we are collectively holding our breath. When is the next shoe going to drop? COVID and the trial and the divisiveness that continues to persist are just plain difficult to deal with in our collective consciousness. So to this wise one, this past Wednesday morning, I said, what's your take? What are your thoughts on where we are now? And what do we need to do now? Well, he said, I think we need to listen and to heal. I mean, I think we need to look at what Jesus would say to us, he said. Listen. Heal. Those words were reverberating through me as I read this gospel story later that day. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and they know me, Jesus says. But this week, with that conversation still fresh in my mind, it was this part of verse 16 that jumped out at me. They will listen to my voice. After every difficult event, there are a lot of responses in the news, on social media, in conversations. And I find the anxiety in me raises as I dwell on what's the exact right response? What are the words that I should say? All the while knowing that whatever is said could be taken many different ways with potential firestorms around every corner. Jesus' relationship with the different groups in this text hinges on that one key element, recognition of the shepherd's voice. Embedded in this element is a basic fact recognized and studied in the field of speech communication, listening. Prior to recognizing and responding to a sound, one must listen. Researchers indicate that for all the basic types of listening, they start with the ability of an individual to hear sounds and then move to the other tiers of analysis, critique, concern, and appreciation. We need to listen and to heal. If the link between Jesus and his flock is mediated by recognition of the shepherd's voice, what does that mean for the kind of spiritual listening involved in responding to him? In a culture and a church which is heavily focused on words and speaking, the emphasis on listening as a prior condition and state can be overlooked. Yes, listening has a rich spiritual and personal biblical history among us, however. We may regard listening as passive. Opening our ears to hear is not so obvious as opening our mouths to speak, but true listening requires great attention and energy. Ask any counselor, psychiatrist, or a pastor who has just spent hours listening to troubled people, and you will find that listening demands a great deal. Or recall some time. I hope you've had the experience when you felt truly heard. The person listening may have been your spouse, parent, a teacher, a friend, or someone whose profession requires a willingness to listen. To be truly heard by another person is something rich and genuine. It requires much of the listener and gives something real to the person who is heard. But listening is not easy. Yet it might just be a cornerstone of our relationship with Jesus and with each other. Like all true listening, listening to the shepherd comes at a cost. True listening leaves us open to be touched and to be changed by the truth we hear. And that's risky business. So often the truth, if we hear it, overturns our presumptions, challenges our rightness, and shakes up our view of the world. Most of us are at least a little uneasy about having our boat rocked. Listening is also hard because much of our world is arranged to keep us from hearing deep truths. There is so much noise, so many inputs, so many competing voices that we can have a hard time discerning Jesus' voice. We may even become so accustomed to noise that we forget there is a true voice. So how do we listen? And where does healing start? One of the ways that our saviors were focusing on listening to Jesus' voice through scripture and listening to each other is through our devotions practice that our staff and our council and potentially more groups are now using on a regular basis. We're using the Daily Text, which is a devotional book. You might use some other devotion, and that's great too. This one has for every day of the week two scripture passages and a prayer. Some days it's like, yeah, that's nice. But other days, it is so interesting how those scriptures and prayer just seem to reach through the writer, through time, and right into the current experience and the current situation we're experiencing. And then when we meet together, which has been on Zoom a lot lately, we have each person present share their high and their low from the past week. And for this practice, I've asked that we set the stage to help us listen well to each other. We ask that the person sharing is the only one speaking, and that at that time, there won't be others asking questions or responding to what they share. Have you ever been in a conversation where you're sharing something from the heart and the other person's eyes light up and they say, oh, I know, the same thing happened to me when, and off to the races, they go on their own story. And you realize the focus has shifted off you and your unique situation and your desire to be heard. I know I've certainly been on both sides of that equation. So in our sharing, we don't comment or jump in so that the focus stays on the person speaking and the others can concentrate on really listening. We also hold what is shared in that space with tender care and confidentiality. That way we won't find others talking about it in another place or context, which could leave us feeling hesitant to be really open. And finally, once we've listened to the scriptures, we've listened to each other, then the leader prays. People on our teams have commented numerous times how powerful it is to be prayed for out loud and together. It's a practice from which we emerge and then enter the rest of our meeting time together with a new spirit washing over us, a spirit of love and community and of one purpose. We need to listen and to heal. How might our listening lead to healing? And in the context of our larger community, who might we need to listen to so healing can take root? I think these are big questions that lie ahead for each of us to consider personally and for us as a community. As staff and leaders, we'll be considering what is the invitation to us, given heightened awareness in our world about inequalities around race or economics or sexual orientation. Now, I do realize that as a new pastor here who started 5 months ago during a pandemic, when our building wasn't even open for worship, you don't know, in the context of today's gospel, whether I'm in this flock, in a different flock, whether I'm maybe the hired hand, or what. Please know that our team and I are going to keep looking for ways that we can continue to build relationships with each other, as that is such a key component to entering into trusted space with one another. We are also excited about a sermon series we're starting next week called Bless. We will learn 5 practices that we can use as our world is opening up and we are seeing people more. How can we use these practices to bless our neighbors and God's world? So be sure to tune in or come to worship in person in the coming weeks. Finally, as we listen, as God makes a way for healing to happen, may we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd leading us. The Good Shepherd is the one who knows you by name, who knows your hurts and your worries, who knows your pain and your fears, who calls you with hope and joy. May Jesus, the Good Shepherd, unite us as one in him. Thanks be to God. Amen.